Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, last week, we were talking about God's waiting room. I guess everybody's realizing you're in God's waiting room. We're basically almost always in God's waiting room, because once something is completed, we're always waiting on something else. You know. And there's three areas that God brings us in his waiting room. And one of the areas, of course, is for focus or refocus. The other one is for discipline, and the other one's to prune us so that we can bear more fruit. Amen? So those are the three areas that we look at. Now God's waiting room is powerful because we're to enjoy God's waiting room. We don't want to run from it. We want to allow God to bring us in his waiting room, because while we're waiting, he's doing things with me and you. And he's doing it for his glory and for our benefit. Now, you wouldn't send a kid out who's 3 years old in pouring rain, right, in cool weather without something to stay warm and something to protect him from the rain. So God knows what's best for me and you. The problem that we struggle with is when we think that we know what's best, you know. So he allows us to go in the waiting room. We shared that when you try to get out of God's waiting room, you start doing things on your own. You go back to the back seat in the waiting room. It's like being on a bus. You can't get to the front yet. You have to start all over again. So the more you grumble and complain in God's waiting room, the more you got to start over again. Because what's happening is allowing things to be revealed to me and you as we're waiting in God's waiting room, so that we can become more and more in his image and likeness. Amen? So in his waiting room, there's a lot of things that happen. There's birthing that happens. There's revelation that comes. There's counsel, correction, and direction that comes. And the thing is if we're listening. But if we're spending too much time trying to fight to get out of God's waiting room, we miss what he's trying to show us. And we end up staying in there longer. Sometimes we get right to the front seat, ready to get out, and we start our stuff all over again. He goes, see ya, all the way to the back, start over again. Wow. Hello? Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to, this is God's waiting room part 2. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. So do you think God knows what you need? You think that the King of and the Creator of the universe can supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory and far above all we could ever ask or think? Well, then why doesn't he? He does. The problem is we keep grumbling so much, we keep going back to the back of the waiting room, we miss what he's trying to do. You know what? You and I wouldn't be here if he wasn't already doing it.
Hallelujah.
We wouldn't be in this room right now. Right now, this moment, this instant, this second, we wouldn't be in this room if he wasn't making a way for me and you to bless us. If he wasn't doing, if you weren't called, invited, and chosen, you wouldn't be here. You'd be out serving the devil. So he's doing something, isn't he? You know what? We get all frustrated because we don't see what he's doing, or we don't feel what he's doing. That's when he's doing the most. See, when you see and feel it, that means he's done with that. It's time to go on. But while he's doing things, you know, you got to remember that there's a legion of angels to each every individual one. So all these angels are working on your behalf.
Hallelujah.
I know the angels that were working on my behalf must have changed their sneakers over and over and over. They probably had a set of pair of wings, too. They must have been promoted, keeping up with all the stuff I kept changing. Until God finally got me in his waiting room and started directing my path according to the way he thinks and not the way I think. And that's one of the struggles that we have. Most of the time, we're fighting against God's spirit. Most of our struggles against the spirit of the Lord. And then we begin to struggle with him, he just backs off and we fight demons. Because we keep rejecting what he's trying to do in our life. And the one thing that we need to start doing is getting the thoughts of God, looking through his eyes and not our own. Sometimes that's what happens in the waiting room. But there are transitions in the waiting room also. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Good. Let's read this together, okay? Hallelujah. What did I say, 2 Corinthians 6, 13? Okay, let's do it. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unevenly yoked. Wow. Together with unbelievers. So what's he doing? He's causing us to come out, isn't he? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, which is demonic? or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So he's saying, listen, know who you are. Know who you are. You're an offspring of the Anointed One and His anointing. You're a joint heir of Christ, and you're the seed of Abraham. You're somebody. If you weren't somebody, you wouldn't be here. If you weren't predestined to be conformed and transformed into the image of Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, you wouldn't be here. So he's saying, listen, come out from among them. Come out. Watch. Let's go on. And it's verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now, you know, we have a hard time thinking that sometimes, that we are the temple of the living God. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, you repent from your sins, you've accepted the washed blood of Jesus Christ, and you've asked the Holy Spirit to come in and take your life over, you are now the temple of God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now the word therefore means if. If you what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. Now listen, His first request for me and you is that we know Him as Father. Some people don't know Him as Father. They only know what they've read about Him. They know Him as God. They know Him as Jesus. They know Him as Lord. They know Him as Savior. They know Him as supplier of all of their needs. They know Him as healer, deliverer. They know all of these other attributes and characters of who He is, but Father. And when we get into God's waiting room, that's one of the first things that He's trying to reveal to me and you, is that we are His children. And He is our Daddy. And He loves me and you, no matter what your circumstances tell you, no matter what your thoughts tell you, no matter what your feelings tell you, and no matter what the world tells you. He loves me and you unconditionally. No matter what you and I have done, no matter where we've been, He still loves me and you. And the first thing He wants to do is bring relationship with me and you as Father. So everybody got that? Now go to chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow. So we're to cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the world. Because only the world can bring filthiness on me and you. The things of the world. Filthiness of the flesh, filthiness of the spirit. What are we to do? We are to fulfill. We're to fulfill, to go into God's waiting room. He's trying to fulfill something in me and you. He's trying to bring us purpose. He's trying to bring us predestined, what He's called me and you to do. So we begin to wait in God's waiting room, and as we're waiting, one of the things that we need to do is look at Him as Daddy. You know, when we don't get what we want, hello, where are you, God? Let me tell you, if you don't get what you want right away or how you want it, the devil is there accusing you, convincing you, throwing every dart he can to you to try and bring separation between you and God. See, the devil knows what you're desiring too. Does everybody got it? So he knows, he's, you know, the devil and the powers of darkness, they're out there in the spirit realm, aren't they? They see everything that's going on, don't they? They know how to trigger me and you, mankind, and bring doubt and fear and unbelief. And the one thing they want to do is move me and you out of position so that we cannot receive what God has for us. Does everybody get it? So the Lord says, come out from among them. Come out from among the world. Come out from among them that will bring you down. Come out from among them and come unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. Go to Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. So He's saying, come out from among them. Right? He's saying, come out into my house. Didn't the Lord say, hey, look, I'm going to prepare a place for you? Amen. See, He didn't know He already prepared one here for you, didn't He? He already prepared a place for me and you right here. God's waiting room. Hallelujah. In verse 2, let's read it together. Is everybody there? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove whether it's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he says here, listen, one of the ways of coming out is to start renewing your mind. Now, he's not only talking about renewing your thoughts, these are other things he's talking about. Renewing your attitude, renewing your motives, renewing your desires, how long you want to stay in God's waiting room, renewing your speech and your tongue, renewing your friends and your relationship, possibly renewing your job, renewing your focus, renewing your responsibilities. Should I repeat these? Renewing your thoughts, your attitudes, your motives, your desires, your speech or tongue, renewing your friends and your relationships, renewing your job, renewing your focus, renewing your responsibilities. Why is he asking me and you to renew these things? So we bear more fruit for his glory. See, we can start off pretty well and then all of a sudden start picking up garbage. And the next thing you know, certain things begin to happen to us. Pride, whatever it may be. We begin to rely on what we know instead of who we know. We become religious in our own standard and don't even realize it. We can become criticizing. We can look at people's faults instead of what they're doing good. All sorts of things. One of the things the Lord wants us to do is to get with Him as Father so that we can be renewed more in His image and likeness by change of thought, by change of attitude and motive and desires and responsibilities. You know, some of us haven't been keeping up responsibilities God has asked us to do. Back to the waiting room. Back seat. Let's learn it again. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. You know, we can't do it in our own, and we try to. But if you and I will stay in the Spirit will do it for us. Because that's all we have to do is lean on Him. Trust in Him. Let the Spirit of the mind be manifest in us. Hallelujah. So what's He doing it for? So that we bear more fruit for His glory. God wants to bring glory to His name and expand His kingdom. But He can't set people out to expand His kingdom until they can be trusted to handle what He's given them. He just doesn't send somebody out there to pitch a tent if he knows that that person doesn't know how to put the stake all the way in. Because he knows the tent won't stay. It'll be a temporary thing. So we go in God's waiting room to learn, to know Him, to earn His trust. Remember, freedom is learned. Trust is earned. Hello? Praise God. Go to Psalm 40. Maybe you're waiting on a healing in God's waiting room. Maybe you're waiting on whatever you're waiting on. That's God's waiting room. Psalm 40. Hallelujah. Let's go verses 1 through 3. Let's read it together. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. Well, you know what that means? Relationship. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit. Have you been brought up out of the horrible pit?
Amen.
Praise God. Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see and fear. Say that again. Many will see and fear. Say it again. Many will see and fear, and will trust in the Lord. That's why you go in God's waiting room. So that many will see and fear. Why? Because you're changed. Your thoughts, your attitudes, your motives have changed. Your desires, your friendships, your relationships, all of these things have changed in God's waiting room. So God's waiting room is a wonderful place to be. It's not a bad place to be. The only reason why it's a bad place for some people is because they resist God's waiting room. Hallelujah. So that's why He puts us in a waiting room so that you and I become a sign and wonder. A sign and wonder. Amen? Now we also know that He protects us in God's waiting room from something that's coming up that we don't see. Some people just don't understand, and we've talked about this in the other tape, that He's protecting us. Something might happen while you couldn't go somewhere, and He protected you. Amen? That's called divine delay. Divine delay. There's nothing greater than divine delay. Man, I thank the Lord for protecting me sometimes. I couldn't, one day I was staying, my wife and I, was 10:30 at night, we were at a stop sign. It was a four-way stop sign. And we were sitting there, and there was no cars, no nothing. I couldn't move. And I'm like, it was like somebody had their hand on me. And I turned to my wife and I was about to say, how come I can't move? My foot was on the clutch. I couldn't move. And my wife was looking at me going, why aren't you moving? And I'm thinking, why can't I move? And the next thing I know, a car flies and runs the stop sign from my left about 40, 50 miles an hour. Whew! And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. See, I couldn't see. There was no lights out there. It was on a, out in the country road, Clarcona Corey Road, when it wasn't developed. And it was just a four-way stop sign. I couldn't see it. But it was a divine delay by the Lord why I couldn't move. And that was, those are just simple ones. There are longer delays because of He's protecting me and you. Or He has something better for me and you. Sometimes we want to, oh, that's what I want. I know that this must be from the Lord. Praise God. You know, and it might be from the Lord. It might be. But the Lord can change His mind and say, hold on. I got something better.
Hallelujah.
I've been waiting for this one to open. I've been waiting for this one to be, I've been waiting for the angels that have been working on your behalf to do this, but I've been bringing you encouragement about this. Because if I can do this, you know that I can do that. You understand? You know, God works in strange ways because we're strange creations. Sometimes we're foolish creatures, aren't we? He likes putting an image in us so that we go after what we think is right. And the next, you know, He sets us up. I mean, He's the greatest setup I've ever seen. I mean, He knows how to set you up. You wouldn't be here if you didn't get set up. Everyone in this here got set up by the King of Glory. Amen? You got set up to be saved, rescued, delivered, healed, prosper, and be blessed for His glory. Hallelujah. And didn't even know it. And you thought you had a part of it. Go to Ephesians 4. Thank you, Lord, for setting us up. You know, every time we cried out to Him, oh, Lord, do the, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, He's coming, okay, I'm going to rescue you, come on. And we wouldn't listen. So He had to set us up. Okay, He's got a whole novel of our prayers, you know. Man, He's been praying like crazy for this. I keep trying to lead Him there, but He won't go, so I better just set Him up and get Him there. Because He loves us. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. So in other words, that's why we talk about we need to change our thought pattern. Doesn't mean that your thoughts aren't going to be perfect all the time. You're going to have goofy thoughts. Some of us still have wild thoughts. Hello? It doesn't mean that you're not, but it depends that, you know, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to believe that goofy thought or not? Everybody got it? Hallelujah. So don't let the devil beat you up. Oh man, you should have seen what I thought today. Whoa. Believe me, we'd all be in trouble if everybody can see our thoughts. Hello? He does. He sees them all, man. I mean, you're on candid camera. Amen? Holy Ghost candid camera. But you know what? We do have the thoughts of Christ. We have the thoughts of God. We get them by renewing our mind. So that when those goofy thoughts come up, we can compare them with the thoughts of God and take the right choice. Amen? Good. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. See, that's what he's saying. You haven't learned Christ yet. Now you got to understand something. This letter is to the church. He's talking about believers that keep rejecting God's waiting room. Hello? Because they haven't learned Christ yet. And they keep doing the things that they think they should. And there are people that are still out there that you and I could be a witness to, not by what we speak, but how we act. That can bring them into Christ. He said, verse 21, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See? The spirit of your mind. Ooh. And that you put on the what? New man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. So being renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, activate the mind of Christ with God's thoughts. Has everybody got it? So you and I must activate the mind of Christ. That's why we spiritually discern certain things, don't we? You know, let me share this with you. A couple of things that bring us in God's waiting room, and we've gone through all of this before, but I just want to share something, and Sometimes the Lord wants to reveal something to you that you don't know or understand. Maybe you're trying to be somebody you're not supposed to be. Maybe you're two-faced. You're portraying someone, but you're not really that. Has everybody got it? Don't accept it. Don't receive this in condemnation. Receive this in counsel, correction, and direction. This is why we should be willingly staying in God's waiting room and letting Him deal with us. If you find yourself that you're trying to be somebody that you're not, you're being too, you're saying something in front of someone, but you're really not in closed doors, you're not that same person. If you're not the same person as you are out, as you are home, then something's not right. Amen? Something's not right. And God wants you in His waiting room so He can deal with you. What you do behind closed doors and what you do in open doors, if you're not the same person, something's not right. Maybe there's a lot of worldliness in you that you're trying to get out. Maybe you started off good, but now you picked up a lot of things of the world. You've gone to the world's standards. You become agreeable with the world's system. You're beginning to trust more in the world than you are God. You're beginning to trust more in the world's financial systems than you are God. Whatever it is. What He's trying to do is deal with us because He keeps coming back to that same verse we read. Come out from among them. Okay? Maybe danger lies ahead and He's trying to rescue you. Or maybe you're a danger to yourself and still others. Hello? Believe me, I do a lot of counsel with some people, and I keep telling them, man, I get guys that tell me in jail all the time, yeah, I'm trying to bail out. I said, you better stay right in here. You're still a danger to yourself and others. And they think they're all right. I do a lot of preaching on don't bailing out. If God wants you out, He lets you out. Because these guys are running to the phone instead of the throne. They spend more time trying to get out instead of get to know the Lord. And jail is God's waiting room.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place to be.
Amen.
For a while. A little bit. but if people are still a danger to themselves and to others, these guys are trying to get out sometimes and go home and be the father that they're supposed to be, and they haven't even fulfilled sonship with the Lord. You can never be a father or a mother to your children until you are a son or a daughter of God. Oh, to God be the glory. Maybe the Lord's got you for a change of plan, His plan. God can change His mind. Hello?
Amen.
He sees what's coming up. He's saying, okay, do this. All right, we're going to do this now. Look what He did with the Jews in the wilderness. Ooh, He sent them all over the place, didn't He? He was trying to get the world out of them, and they were trying to keep the world in them. So He kept them going. They stayed in God's waiting room for 40 years. In fact, they died in God's waiting room. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Maybe there's some hidden sins He's trying to deal with us. Whatever it may be, the one thing we got to do is stop following the present course of action that we're doing and let God deal with us in the waiting room. Has everybody got it? That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to stop us from the present course that we're doing. So if you find yourself laid up, can't do whatever, you know, the Word tells us He makes us lie down, doesn't He? Hello? I know that when that happens to me, I'm lying down because my back is hurt, my foot is busted, my hand would, you know, whatever. I mean, I go through a lot of stuff. I know the Lord's telling me, listen, you ain't listening about getting rest, son. So I'm going to make you lie down. And I do. And when I get healed, I get up and go all over again. But He loves me anyway. You know, He loves me. And I love Him. And I'm going to die for Him. You know? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the bottom line is, this is a temporary life. We have an eternal one that awaits us.
Amen.
So let's get as many souls as we can in. Amen. Let's do what we got to do and go home. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the quicker we all get it together, the quicker the Lord returns and we can get out of here.
Amen.
And live our real life that we're supposed to have instead of this temporary life.
Hallelujah.
But if we keep getting caught up in this temporary life, you'll stay in the waiting room until you die. You know why? Because you're still a danger to yourself and to others that you come across. And we don't want to be that way, do we? Oh, to God be the glory. So we need to stop following the present course of action that we have been doing, and that's one of the things that the Lord does with me and you. Is everybody okay? Well, nobody's left, so praise God. Romans 12, including myself, I'm still here. Romans 12 again. You know, when we were children, we always heard, don't do this, don't touch that. You know, my poor little girl, you know, it's like, listen, don't touch that, no. You know, you got to plug up all the outlets, you know, 2 years old, they want to redo their hair so they stick their finger in the socket. But, you know, they want to get it charged. You know, TV sometimes just not enough. So like, but, you know, they find everything that they can get into because everything is new to them. It's exciting. Their eyes have been open. And they're like, whoa. And when she gets up, she's like, hey, that's this and that's that and that's this and that's that. And it's like, whoa. And you know, when you and I are born again, that's the same thing that happens to me and you. We're like, whoa, I never realized about bugs. After I got slam dunked in the Holy Ghost, my eyes were open to everything. I didn't want to do nothing. I was like, whoa. I never realized that flower was so beautiful. I never realized that that bug was smart. I didn't realize that, well, they really do fly south. You know, I didn't know nothing. You know, I didn't know nothing, man. I was out there. You know, and the only thing I cared about is how to fulfill my lust, my flesh, and the rest of the other stuff. So anyways, and when we begin, our eyes begin to get open, we have a lot of things that we want to do, and just as we were children, don't touch this, don't do this, don't go, what, our parents are trying to protect us, well, now that we're born again, our Heavenly Father is trying to protect, and he's saying, don't touch this, don't do that, wait on me, you know, let me train you up. You know, we had to learn how to drive a car, right? Well, we got to learn how to ride the horse that God gives us, you know. We got to learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit. We have to learn certain things, just like with a dog. When I use this example all the time. When you get a dog, you tell the dog to sit, he pees on the rug. He's got to learn your language, doesn't he? You got to have fellowship. So the Lord allows us to have this fellowship so that there is no question. There's complete trust. Amen? There's no question. There's just complete trust. Okay, Daddy. Thank you. This door shut. Okay. You know what I need. You're God and I'm not. Amen. So there are do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that, right? So the Word tells us don't do this and do that, right? The Word is a tutor to us and the Spirit is the mentor. Hallelujah. So in Romans chapter 12, hallelujah, and verse 3, well, we're getting there. Would you read it with me? For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not to what? Think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So he's saying, listen, don't exalt yourself. Do not exalt yourself. Don't think yourself more highly. You know, people love to criticize other people, and the reason why they do it is to show that they're better. See, they look at other people's faults. Man, this person just doesn't do this. This person just doesn't do that. This, you know what they're doing? Exalting themselves. Because in true reality, they're saying, I could do it better. You know, when I was a baby, not that I'm not, I'm still a baby. I'll always be my daddy's baby. But the Lord, he was teaching me, and everywhere I went, and whatever service I went to, and whatever, I would see certain things that used to grieve me. And what the pastor might do, or somebody might do in there, whatever. And I wasn't in there looking at the bad things. And the Lord would share with me, what would you do? What would you do? And I got away with, you know, whatever you want, Lord. Until he said, now you've got to start answering me. That's not going to work. What would you do? So what we need to do is look at, we're not looking for people's mistakes, but when they make the mistake, the Holy Spirit is saying, what would you do? Hello? Not that we reject counsel, correction, and direction. That's why God gives us offices and so forth and brothers and sisters, not to accuse or condemn or criticize, but to quicken of what is right and what is wrong because we're blinded in certain areas. But if the Spirit dealing with you is showing you and you're all of a sudden you're accusing and you feel this accusation or accusing and criticism coming on you, the Holy Spirit is going to be saying, well, what would you do? And if we'll accept what the Spirit is saying to us and what we would do, we would learn a lot quicker. Amen. In fact, he would begin to trust us even more. Amen? Go to verse 16. It says, be what? Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So we're seeing that these are do nots. Amen? Don't exalt yourself. Don't set your mind on high things. Don't let pride move you out of position, thinking that you got it all, and that you're better, because none of us has made it. And go to verse 19. Now let's just keep going, verse 17. It says what? Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance of mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. So, you know, what's he saying? He's saying, listen, do not exalt yourself. Do not be prideful. Do not worry about revenge. Do not return evil for evil. Right? Now, what's beginning to happen here is the waiting room is beginning to be turned over to the viewing room. Okay? There's a transition in the waiting room now. Like I said, the last teaching we talked a lot about the waiting room. Now what's happening is there's a transition in the waiting room. It becomes the viewing room. Now the Lord is beginning to want you to see. You're going to begin to start viewing certain things in this room. Yes, while you're waiting, it's now turning into a viewing room. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. Is everybody there? Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. 33 and 34. Would you read it with me, please? It says what? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now what is he saying? He's saying, look it. Now I want you to start seeing. Who are the people you're hanging around with? Now he's saying, I want you to start looking now. Start viewing what's happening. Who are you hanging around with? Who are you talking to on the phone? The devil planting corruptible seeds in you? Bringing you doubt, fear, and unbelief? Is he giving you an illusion of something that isn't true? Do not be deceived. You and I are not to be deceived. We go into God's waiting room to get discernment. It says, verse 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. This I speak to your shame. In other words, some don't understand the ways of the Lord who are believers, and they still don't. And they're claiming to know God, but they don't. They grumble and complain, still have friendship and fellowship with the world, still trying to walk in the flesh, and they claim to be believers, but they're not doing the right things before God. He said, this I say to their shame, who say that they know Him, but they can't wait for Him. They can't wait on Him. Now remember, we shared last week that waiting doesn't mean sitting there twiddling your thumbs. We're still to be responsible in what God has given us. We're still to do the things that God has given us already. But now the waiting room is turning into the viewing room, and we must start viewing. Has everybody got it? Who are we hanging around with? Go to Galatians 3. What are the things we saying? What are the things we thinking? Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Would you read verse 3 with me? Is everybody there? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Oh, man. Oh, you began in the Spirit. You started doing the right things. Now you've walked from the Spirit, thinking you have fellowship in the Spirit, but you're actually in the flesh, fulfilling nothing but the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. So here we are. We've begun in the Spirit. And we're actually thinking we're still walking in the Spirit. We're now not walking in the Spirit. We've no longer had that conscious effort of getting in the Spirit. Our mind is beginning to get set on certain other things of the world. Jobs. Beginning to look for a husband or a wife or whatever. Beginning to look for the things that we know that our God supplies according to His riches and glory far above all we could ever ask or think. But we're looking for it now. When He says, I'll bring it right to you. Amen. Oh, guide. Amen. So now we're actually walking in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. Even when we started off right. Now, He's not expecting you to sit home and twiddle your thumbs. He's expecting you to be led by the Spirit, maintaining a responsibility that He's already given me and you. Whether it be husband, wife, supplier, whatever it is. Position. Office, what? You're still to be maintaining what He's given you while you're waiting for something else to be going on. While you're waiting for something to happen that you know is supposed to be coming. While you're in God's waiting room. Amen? That's like somebody driving a car and waiting for the gas to fill itself. And they drive, and it stops, and they're going, oh, Lord, how come you stranded me? And he said, hey, look, I supplied the seed for you to get the gas, and I gave you two legs to get out and put it in. See, sometimes we just don't take care of the responsibilities God has given us. And we go right back in the waiting room. And what he starts saying is, now, okay, start looking. Go. Start viewing. Start seeing. What are you doing? Waiting just isn't doing this. Waiting is doing and viewing. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 5. Hallelujah. That's like somebody wanting to get healed. Right? And they're laying there going, I'm waiting on God to heal me. And they're not doing anything. Yeah, I'm waiting on the Lord to heal me. Well, praise God. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm waiting. Well, you better start speaking some scriptures and confessing, because what you sow is what you reap. Amen? Confession brings possession. So whatever you're waiting on, the Word says that we have the ability and the authority and the anointing and the power to call those things that are not as though they are. Well, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus didn't come to the earth and sit down, right, in his house, hang around with his brothers and sisters and do nothing. But there was a waiting period, wasn't there? And he waited on the Lord, and in 3 years he touched and changed the world. And what he did by waiting on God is still going on. And if you wait on God, what God will do through you will still continue on. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Would you read that with me? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Now let me tell you, this is a scolding from the Lord. He said, look, you started off right in the spirit, you got in the flesh, you should be teachers now. Now you still need to be taught. And you have to come to need milk and not solid food again. In other words, you can't even digest the solid food again. I got to put you back on milk to start you over. But here, you should be teachers by now. But because you keep leaving the waiting room of God, you were walking with the Spirit, now you're back in the flesh, because if you're in the flesh, you can't get the things of the Spirit. You can't get it. You walk in the flesh, man, it's hard to receive the things of the Spirit. You'll bounce your head off of everything, and you'll try everything, and nothing will work. It just doesn't work. It's like, oh, I can't take this any longer. And the Lord's going, I can't take it any longer. Get in the Spirit so we can have some communion. And let me work through you. You know, he's not looking for us to work for him. That's the first thing everybody wants to do when they get saved. Man, I can't wait. I'm going to do a lot for the Lord. And the Lord is saying, please don't go there. Please don't go there. Wait a minute. Don't go there. I don't want you to do anything for me. I want you to know me and let me do it through you. You don't have to do anything for me. Come on, didn't he rebuke Peter? He said, told him, Satan, get behind me. Peter said, I'm going to do it for you, Papa. He said, you're mindful of things of the world, but not the things of God. Oh, hallelujah. Where are we? Verse 13. Okay. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord was scolding. He says, man, you know, you should have been teachers by now, but you keep backsliding, walking in the flesh, not fulfilling what I've asked you to do. Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In verse 20, and let's read this together, please. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now understand this. He's not saying I'm preparing some for dishonor. Hello? God doesn't prepare vessels for dishonor. He's saying in the house there are those who are dishonor, and there are those who are of honor. Okay. Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master and prepared for every good work. See, you go in God's waiting room, hallelujah, so you can become a vessel of honor, prepared for the master's use. Flee also useful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love,
peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what?
Pure heart.
But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to what? Teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their what? Senses, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So no, God is preparing you so that you can be used as someone to rescue. God wants to work through me and you to rescue someone. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 3, can we read it together? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Oh, he loves comforting us, if we'll let him. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So know that God does comfort us during these times. But one of the things we go through is, where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me? I think that's one of the greatest scriptures that everybody uses. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But understand, he took all man's sin on. You didn't. I didn't. He's not forsaken us. He's there to comfort us. Has everybody got it? No matter what you're going through, he's trying to make a way. He's saying, will you wait here? You know, when the Lord started this ministry and certain things began to happen, and signs and wonders began to manifest in the ministry, and the one thing he said to me, please do not move. I mean, it was like the Lord was pleading with me, do not move. And we were just in this little house. Don't move. Next thing we know, we had another house. Don't move. I didn't know what the Lord was preparing. And I agreed. Okay, if you don't want me to move. And I mean, you know, you start seeing the hand of God and signs and wonders, man, you want to go out and tell the whole world. You want to start doing all kinds of stuff. I just said, it's like, all right, praise God, let's get the Harley, hallelujah, a U-Haul, I mean, you know, a Winnebago, whatever, let's go, babe. Me, you, the dog. Didn't know the kid was coming yet. You know, and we're just going to go out and evangelize. And the Lord said, no, stay right here. So, praise God, we're still here. Hallelujah. And now you're here. See, we would have never met each other if we were just saying, praise God. Hallelujah. So know that he is there comforting me and you. You know, he's not forsaken us. He's not. And he's not going to forsake you. We forsake him. We forsake him by how we feel, what we think, what we see. We get caught up in the world again, in the flesh, and we forgot who we are. We forgot sometimes of what he's done for us already. We get caught up in our circumstance of the moment. He's not caught up in our circumstance at the moment. He's caught up in me and you as loving us as his children. He died for me and you. That's a father that loves us. Hallelujah. Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read it. Be anxious for nothing. Say that again. Be anxious for... Oh, come on, one more time. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, let's cap it. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, praise God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Say all understanding. Say all understanding. That means you can't figure it out. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, don't you get beat up sometimes? It's like, oh man, why didn't I pray about that first? But Lord, I thought it was you. You put it right in front of me. But I, you know, that's that car I've been wanting all my life. It must be you. I don't care about it. It only has one tire.
It's got to be from you. That's the design I wanted, Lord. Thanks. 2 weeks later, I should have prayed about that. And then you're questioning yourself, did I pray about that? It's a bummer when people have that happen in their marriages. I should have prayed about that. Oh, yeah. So now we're in the viewing room, aren't we? And he's saying, listen, there's something I want you to start doing. I want you to start discerning the decisions you need to make in the viewing room. Okay? The first thing that must happen in the viewing room while you're in the waiting room is you must start discerning by prayer. If you're in the waiting room and where the viewing room is, prayer is number one. No prayer, no nothing. You'll be led by your flesh thinking you're led by the Spirit again. In fact, what happens is the familiar spirits show up and imitating themselves as the Holy Ghost, and you'll think you'll be having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And they'll be telling you and speaking to you and touching you and giving you goosebumps just like the Holy Ghost does. And he'll be a familiar spirit. And you'll be thinking that everything you hear, you're doing, but it ain't working. You know why? It's not the Lord. It's a familiar spirit. Does everybody get it? When you run out of a God's waiting room, and you shut the blinds in the viewing room, you walk right into the hands of the devil. And he'll comfort you. And he'll use you, and you won't even know it. And you think you'll be used by God. But the next thing you're doing, the more thoughts of criticism, the more, all of a sudden there's more move of the flesh, and you think it's the Spirit. Because you left your first responsibility. He said, we left our first love. So we must be careful. See, we tell things by fruits, not by feelings. God is not the God of feeling, he is the God of truth. I'll never forget when he showed me that familiar spirit that was all dressed in white. And I was at a place, very well-known place, I'm not going to get all into it. And this man was there who was a man of God with his wife. And they gave my wife a word of the Lord. And I was like, man, I knew that was the word of the Lord. And he grabbed my hand and he was trying to give me a word. And I saw this body, white body, behind me, like coming from the fence. Coming up and leaning over and speaking to this man in his ear. And I thought, whoa, Lord, that's powerful. And he said, do you want a word from me or that familiar spirit? I was like, whoa. I want a word from you. He said, bind that thing. And I bound it. And that man couldn't speak. He tried to give me a word. He said, squeeze my hand tighter. I thought, what's that got to do with a word from the Lord? I was waiting for him to tell me to dance. You know, I don't know. So I knew he couldn't speak. He could not give the word of the Lord because it wasn't one.
That's right.
Everybody got it? But he was praying for people's healings and they were getting healed because the Lord shared with me he was walking in what they call a mixed anointing. But I'm not getting into that now. So you just got to be careful not to leave God's waiting room. You must be careful to wait on God and allow him to bring you in the viewing room so you can see what he sees and think what he thinks. Everybody got it? Hallelujah. One of the things is he first starts teaching us in the waiting room and in the viewing room is to begin to discern with prayer. He wants us to have fellowship. He wants us to get counsel. And you know, he does give us common sense. You know, he gives us common sense. Even circumstances sometimes arouse things for us to use common sense to bring us in a direction that we're not listening. In fact, most circumstances manifest because we're not listening, and it brings us to another direction. In fact, everybody's here on a circumstance. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord told you to come here, right? Praise God. When we want to know what decisions God is asking us to do, what decision? In other words, while we're in a waiting room, as we're waiting, he's going to begin to reveal certain things as we're viewing certain things, looking through his eyes and having his thoughts. He's going to start saying, now I want you to start making decisions, and I'm going to give you the discernment of decision of these decisions by prayer, communion, fellowship, common sense, certain things that come across us. We cannot become granolas, which are nutty and fruity people. Has everybody got it? You can't just walk out on a ledge where there's nothing there unless God has already built it. Has everybody got it? So many people are trying, you know what, they're running around going, well, I believe this. The Lord does not work in assumption. Well, I believe this. Well, not everything we believe is true. Well, if the Word says so, the Word says so, but is God saying so? I mean, even the devil used the Word to try and trick Jesus, didn't he? So, we've got to have confirmation. Revelation, confirmation, and manifestation. Without revelation and confirmation, there will never be a manifestation. Amen? You know, in Matthew 19:26, you don't have to go there. The Lord was saying, with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that's where he wants to bring us to. That knowing him, knowing that he is God, if he is the creator of the universe, and he has created me and you, and he's got spare parts for me and you. Hello? Get a discount, you know, body shop up there. You know. Praise God. The Word also tells us in Psalm 37, in verse 4, to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you... Let me share this with you. Listen. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you his desires. Has everybody got it? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you his desires, not yours. Because our desires will lead us astray. Now, as you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires will become his desires. Mm. In the viewing room, you ready? Begin to reflect on the good and bad things of decisions in your life. Learn off of them. That's a time of reflection. Begin to see the experiences that you've gone through and the circumstances that you've gone through. Begin to review your failures and your successes or your accomplishments. Begin to review certain things, because sometimes we lose sight of the things of what God has done, and we're getting ready to go into another trap when the Lord is trying to rescue us. If we start reviewing certain things, we'll find out what's what. He'll even show us something that hasn't been adjusted yet, that we're still dealing with now, that hasn't been adjusted from before. But he's willing to adjust it now, so we can be free. Has everybody got it? That's getting freed from strongholds in our life. The viewing room is a great place for strongholds to be delivered from. Because where there's a stronghold, demonic activity is there. He's trying to bring light into darkness and truth into deception. He's trying to prepare us for a new direction or a new focus so that we can see clearly, so we can have clarity with him. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? So we go from the waiting room to the viewing room. It's time to look and see. In verse 18, it tells us what? Start at 17. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Praise God. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So know that these things that you and I are going through, we're going from glory to glory, aren't we? If we'll allow it. So don't look at the painful process of waiting, but look at the benefits that you'll be seeing. Has everybody got it? That way something will be manifest, and that's in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you'll go there with me. Would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Say it again. Old things have passed away. But you got to understand, you must be in Christ. What he said before, you have not learned Christ. You're still eating the milk. So if you've learned Christ, you'll find out that the old things have passed away. As you begin to start looking and viewing while you're in the waiting room, he's going to start bringing things up so that old things can be passed away and you can be more free. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's just not a one-time event. That's continuous. Amen? Now, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Are you ready for this? Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Luke chapter 4. And verses 1 and 2. This is me and you now. This whole thing is me and you. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know where he went? To the waiting room. being tempted 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Okay, now go to verse 13. Would you read it with me? Now when the devil had ended every temptation, say every temptation, he departed from him until what? Hallelujah. Come on, keep going. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. How many of y'all want to return in the power of the Spirit? That's why you go in the waiting room. Now, didn't the devil show up and give Jesus a viewing room? But Jesus knew, didn't he? He knew. What did he do? He spoke the word. When Jesus went in the waiting room, first of all, he got filled with the Spirit. He went in a waiting room, the tempting room, the wilderness. In fact, the devil was saying, if you are the what? Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God. Everybody got it? He knew he was the Son of God. And he knew he was God. But the devil was trying to convince him. And he let him do what he wanted to him. Brought him illusions and visions and the viewing. But Jesus already was focused. He was already focused. And he was in the waiting room 40 days. And he came out in the power of the Spirit. Some of us have been in the waiting room for 40 years and still waiting to come out with the power of the Spirit. I'm not saying people in here. I'm just saying there are people, you know. Hallelujah. And Jesus returned in the what? Power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he what? He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Powerful. Going in the waiting room, checking out the viewing room. Now, here's a couple of things that... This is it now. A few things here, okay? Number one, trust the Lord. Number two, he doesn't make mistakes. No surrender, no progress. If you're not unconditionally surrendered, you will not progress. Remember, prayer works. Number five, he will do the impossible. Number six, he is your only security. Your only security. Number seven, wait till you get confirmation. Number eight, know that the Lord knows what's best for you. Number nine, it's our responsibility to be faithful, and it's his responsibility for our success. It's our responsibility to be faithful, and it's his responsibility for our success. Number ten, I must be what he wants me to be, and not me. I must be what he wants me to be, and not me. And number 11, and the final, be a support to someone who is waiting. Be a support who is waiting. Number one, trust the Lord. Number two, he doesn't make mistakes. Number three, stay completely surrendered or no real progress. Number four, stay in prayer because it works. Number five, he will do the impossible. Number six, he is your only security. Number seven, wait till you get confirmation. Number eight, the Lord will provide what is best for me. Number nine, I am responsible to be faithful. He is responsible for my success. Number 10, I must be what he wants me to be and not me. And number 11, be a support to someone who is in the waiting room. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to go in the waiting room so we can begin to view what you have for us, what you're trying to show us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that everything that you're doing is for our best interest. Lord, and we repent right now for our grumbling and complaining when you put us in the waiting room. Help us to enjoy the waiting room and have clarity for the viewing room. Give us the counsel, correction, and direction that the decisions that are need to be made will be according to your will, but not our own. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, faithful to complete what you started in us. And Father, we want to be a trophy for you and a sign and wonder to bring glory to your name. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen,
amen and hallelujah.